Downloading 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott.
Hey!
Sean Preece.
Ho-ho!
And Tim Schwartz.
Ah, yes, welcome along to Tech Talk once again. This is That Technology Show. And with me, of course, Stephen Scott, here with you in the chair as always. Not the one with the plug on it, as some might hope be the case. With me this week, Sean Preece. Hello.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm gorgeous. I'm beautiful. I'm amazing. And all of the above. What about you, Tim Schwartz? Are you all of the above?
I am always all the above. Doing well. How are you, gentlemen?
Ah, yeah, we're fine. Right, so, yeah, lots to get through this week. We get tons of emails again. Thank you so much for all the emails. We've even got a review in this week from one of our listeners on the subject of, well, heating, quite frankly. Yes, it's that time of year when you might want to get your heating back on. How does it work in your house, right? Because in my house, it is constantly freezing until about the point we go to bed when the heating seems to kick in.
No, I live in a house full of women and it's just constantly like the tropical Caribbean island. It's terrible. I'm always sweating.
Awful.
A very similar experience in my house. It's always quite warm.
Right. I noticed you said that very diplomatically.
Yes,
is Jennifer
listening.
Your wife? Is she listening to this?
I was willing to go out on the limb as Sean was to say, I live in a house full of women. So, yeah.
You can always tell who's listening, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about some heating options for you, especially for those of us who are blind or partially sighted. There is a piece of kit out there you can get which is very accessible and almost falls under that category of specialist, yet very much mainstream. We'll talk about that. Also, as I say, all your emails coming up and more on this week's Tech Talk. Now, look, I know what you're thinking to yourself, you know, you guys, you sound a bit quiet today. You're maybe not sounding yourselves. What's wrong with you? And maybe you're just thinking that about me. Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. I am absolutely shattered because of Black Friday.
Oh, isn't it amazing? I can't stop. I just can't stop myself.
It's horrific. Do you know, all I am doing every day is spending about 2 hours of my life refreshing Amazon page, hoping that more amazing deals pop in. And by the way, other, you know, Black Fridays are available. but, you know, I've spent so much time online looking at deals and looking at stuff. I don't even need anything and I'm buying stuff. I have no idea why. Tim, in America, you started all this. It's all your fault.
Yep, it's all completely my personal fault, exactly. No, this multiple days of Black Friday sales is killing me too. And the worst button, actually the worst two buttons on Amazon's page are tech gadgets under $100, tech gadgets under $20. Those categories keep killing me.
I don't know how you can put up with it, to be honest. And if that's it's not even, it used to be one day. You know, I mean, you know, in the distant past, about a year ago, it was one day. And now it's Black Month, Black Fortnight, Black Weeks. It's endless.
Knock it. It's the best thing ever. I can't. The worst button is the buy now with one click. Bang! I am wearing that thing out.
Well, I've just taught my wife, and it sounds terrible, but I've just taught her how to use Amazon. She's never used Amazon before. Always a bit nervous about it. So I set it all up for her, set up her account, you know, got her card in there, the address and everything. So she's all set up, and I haven't seen her since. She's gone from me. I think it's probably the next. It's not even divorce. We're kind of past that. You know, it's just a case of now we're just living in perpetual separation.
It's not so bad though, because you do make very good friends with the Amazon delivery man. Hello, Tony, if you're listening.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's actually our delivery guy's called Tim. Not that guy.
Well,
but
there
another
you go.
Guy. Yeah, there you go.
But he's a nice guy.
He is. He's a lovely guy. Yeah, the other one. Anyway, I have been buying, not Black Friday. Well, I say that. We'll maybe get to that later. I have been going a bit mad. All I'm going
to
say is...
I was going to say, don't lie to the people.
All I'm going to say is... Amazon Echo Dots. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying any
more. I've got two right so here now.
I don't need them, but I'm buying them like they're sweets.
Still in their boxes, still sealed up. I have no idea what I'm going to do with them.
Disgraceful. What we are disgraces to humanity. If you are a Black Friday, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Addict.
Person. Yes, that's it. Addict. If you're a Black Friday addict like us, tell us about it. If you can get off your phone for a minute, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We do understand if you don't email in because obviously you are too busy shopping, and we totally get that. But yeah, I have been buying this week, and one thing I bought... Now, this actually does require a bit of explanation. You know that I'm very keen to learn Braille. I've been saying this for a long time. And everybody, and I have to say, our audience are not only the most beautiful audience out there, but they are, in fact... the most intelligent. I mean, you know, of all the shows, of all the podcasts, of everything, we get the most beautiful and the most intelligent audience. It's a fact.
True. Okay. It's been researched. It is, in fact, 100%
true. It is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We've researched this in detail. And we know this to be true. So, no fake news here. So, on that basis, I've been getting so many emails from people with brilliant ideas on how to learn Braille. People offering support. People offering to help each other. It's beautiful. It really is. It is. Honestly, it is. I mean, people have been coming up with great ideas in different parts of the country saying, look, I'm here and I've got experience in learning Braille. I can help you. You know, I'm looking for a Braille class. Here's one over here. Helping each other out. And there's more of that to come today when we get to the emails with Chris. Oh, side guy Chris is popping in later, by the way. So we'll say hello
Yay.
To him.
Yay!
But the one thing that I had been looking for, the elusive thing, was the RNIB fingertip learning course, which has been very elusive, in fact. Spotting a Black Panther is more likely in the UK, it would appear. Until I got a phone call last week from the RNIB shop. And I answer the phone, and it's, hello, I'm this person, and I'm from the RNIB shop. I won't say her name, but she was a very lovely person. And she tells me that in stock right now is the fingertip course.
Now, woo-hoo! How many have they got? That's the thing. Was it just one and you've got it?
Well, here's the thing. Do you know what? Maybe we just need to pass it around. I'll learn and we'll pass it on to someone else. We're just going to pass it around the UK. But yes, I got it and it's here and it's huge. I mean, it's like a massive box that it comes in. It's got Braille volumes in there. I think there's 11 volumes. There's a CD. So what happens is you use a Daisy CD, which has all your instructions on it, and it talks you through the course. And that is what I'm going to start doing. I have to tell you, I've never been this excited in my life because finally I feel I'm going to give myself the education I've denied myself all these years because I was pretty rubbish at school. So this is my educational moment here, and I am very excited. It is finally here. And if you want to get hands on one, call the RNIB shop. The helpline number is 0303 123 9999. I know we keep saying we'll give the number out at the end. I promise I will. 0303 123 9999. That's the helpline number. Call the shop and tell them you're looking to get the RNIB fingertip course. And
whoa, hang on. It's fingerprint, isn't it? Not fingertip.
Oh yeah, do you know something? You're absolutely right. It's been so elusive. Even the name changed in my mind. Yes,
well done, John.
You're right. Fingerprint. That's the one it's called. So yes, when you're calling up the helpline, ask for fingerprint, not fingertip, or they won't know what you're talking about. But yeah, it is absolutely brilliant. It was £54. That's what I paid for it, which seems like a lot of money. But when you think about it, it's a course that you're paying for. Lots of materials in it. You do get the CD, which is brilliant as well. You know, look, it's up to you if you want to go down that route. There are other options available, but that was one I did, and I am very excited about it. And when I am finished with it, I will be donating it to somebody. I think his name is Sean.
Because
you got to do this.
Well, you better convert that CD to MP3 because I've got no way of playing that. Yeah, I've got to say, the emails have been great about Braille. We've had such a response to the Braille debate, and it just shows, you know, there is demand out there, and there are people willing to give their time to teach. I've been amazed by the emails, to be honest.
Yeah, just when you keep hearing all this hype about Braille being dead, it seems as though it's far from dead. People still have an interest. They still care about it, and they still either want to learn more or want to start learning it. So, yeah, it's been really great hearing everybody talk about Braille.
So I'm looking forward to getting started. I will chart my progress for you. Finally, I'm able to start learning, which I'm really excited about. I think I'm going to spend an hour a night on it every weeknight just to get started, because I think it's one of these things, if you don't kind of dedicate a section of time to it, you'll just kind of fade away from it very quickly. Although I am very excited about it. Now, just to sort of pin this on, before we get into the emails and before we talk about some of the other stuff that we want to bring up today, I just wanted to bring up a feature here, because one of our listeners got in touch, Wayne, who you might remember got in touch with us last week, and he brought about Lady Lorraine, who, yes, I know, don't get excited. It wasn't actually Lorraine Kelly, but for the purposes of this feature, we'll say it is, okay? So Wayne's brought up Lorraine Kelly, but she's back this week.
Oh, good. She couldn't resist me.
And this is actually what I mean about the intelligent part of our audience. Wayne has come up with a brilliant idea to help us learn Braille using our smartphones. I love this idea, and it's using something which I often am quite disparaging about, and that is Siri Shortcuts.
Hello everyone once again. Yes, it's your favourite presenter, Lady Lorraine. Before I start, can I just say a quick hello to my lovely bonnie wee Charlie, sighty guy Chris, such a lovely young man. Well, Wayne has something very exciting to bring you in the saga of the Shortcut Adventure. Stephen was mentioning how it can be difficult to get support with learning Braille. So, Wayne thought that a great tool to use with Shortcuts would be to build a talking Braille dictionary so that a learner could ask Siri for the Braille code for the letters they're learning. Amazingly, Wayne has done a fairly reasonable job at building this talking Braille dictionary. Luckily, he does know Braille from making sure he had it in his toolbox as his own RP progressed. At the moment, Wayne has entered the alphabet and initial punctuation into the Shortcut dictionary, but this can be added to include all Braille cells with a bit of time spent to enter them. The great thing is that this shortcut could be shared with anyone who wants it through the shortcut share function. This is a clear demonstration of the difference between Google and Lady A devices and the real potential of Siri as a mobile and customizable interactive device. Oh, if the RNIB or NFB or any of the Canadian or Australian societies want to buy it off me, I'll take 50 quid, but don't mention it to Wayne. Okay, here comes the demonstration of the talking Braille dictionary for your entertainment. Braille code.
Running your shortcut.
F.
The letter F is made up of dots 1, 2 and 4. It also stands for the word from when spaced on its own.
Braille code.
Running your shortcut.
D.
The letter D is made up of dots 1, 4 and 5. It also stands for the word do when spaced on its own.
Braille code.
Running your shortcut.
E.
The letter E is made up of dots 1 and 5. It also stands for the word every when spaced on its own.
Not bad, eh? The great thing about this shortcut is that it is actually fairly simple to create. It's made up of 1. The dictate text element to grab the person's request. 2. A dictionary element that basically holds the entries for the letter and the associated Braille cell explanation. 3. An element to get the dictionary entries. 4. An element to compare the request from the person, essentially using one variable to find the needed dictionary entry. 5. Use of the Shortcuts app speak text feature to allow the dictionary results to be read out. If anyone has a use for it, let the chaps know and Wayne can forward it over. To complete a full dictionary to incorporate Grade 2 Braille, Wayne would need a text or audio file for reference as he enters Braille into the Shortcut dictionary. Once done though, it will be available for everyone across the world. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Not quite as beautiful as Sighty Guy Chris though. Oops, did I say that out loud? Once again, toodle pip for now. All my love to Sean, Tim, Stephen, and especially that bonny lad Sighty Guy Chris.
I don't like that. There's going to be trouble.
Bit of attachment issues going on here.
Hang on a minute. We got to do this. Well done. That was absolutely amazing.
Yes, very well done.
Brilliant. I mean, that is a huge... I mean, I know I've been very disparaging of Siri shortcuts.
I have to say...
Well, do you know what? I would eat my words if they were edible at this point, because that is definitely a reason to want to use them. That is brilliant. I mean, that is just ingenious. How, I mean, you've taken something like that and used it in this way. I love this idea. I love just being able to ask if you're thinking, how do I do this? And I also, do you know what I love? I mean, I know it's a work in progress for you, Wayne, but I love this idea of it not just telling you what the letter is in terms of dots, but also what the word is when it's a standalone letter. For those who don't realise, that's contracted Braille. That's amazing. No, well done. Really well done on that. That is brilliant.
That's something I would use. That's a really good example. I'll be honest, I think that's the best shortcut I've seen so far.
Yeah, definitely. Tim, you're very quiet on this. I know you're a huge fan of shortcuts.
I am a huge fan of shortcuts. You know, I almost want to say it's the very best shortcut I've seen so far, but I have seen some really amazing shortcuts. But I would say to Wayne's credit, this is absolutely one of the best, if not the best. It's a very great or very good use of shortcuts and the power of what it can actually do. So yeah, well done.
Okay, well, shall we invite the beautiful Bonnie lad himself in?
No.
I think it is.
Yeah. I'm upset now.
If his head can fit through the door.
Well, we'll see if he can scrape his head through the door as we begin, because it's time for
email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
And with us, the man himself. Yes, the man, the legend that is Chris Wallace is here. Sighty guy Chris, hello.
Well, thanks very much for having me back here on Tech Talk.
Yes, well, we're glad to have you back. Huge head and all. Sean, maybe not so much. Right, let's get into the email, shall we? Because lots and lots to get through this week.
Our first email today comes from Charlotte. She says, hello there. I'm looking for some advice and information. Should I spend 60 quid or so on one of those dot things?
Yes.
As it is, I listen to radio from my posh digital radio, although this doesn't give Radio Scotland. For that, I have to use FM or the telly. Or I listen to radio from my transistor. Yes, I use one of those. When we have a power cut, it still works. In fact, 3 years back, when our town of Newton Stewart flooded, there was no internet, no mobile phone signal, and no power. So, for information, I relied on the transistor and the landline. If I so wish, I've plenty of apps providing news updates, national and international. Facebook can even provide local updates. But to the dot thing, I know shouting at one of these can provide information, but then I can shout at my phone and Siri does the same. Or I can just fire up the old laptop. For entertainment, other than radio, I can listen to music on my phone or stream that spotty thing through the household's wee pod gadget. As for the talking books, the internet here is so dodgy, I wouldn't download my RNIB books. It is much more reliable to receive Daisy CDs via Royal Mail, then transfer these to my Victor stream. Only occasionally do I buy an audiobook from iBooks, usually if going away abroad on holiday. So, is it worth spending money on a dot? Or should I just spend the money on a pair of earrings from eBay, using the eBay app on my phone, of course? By the way, tell Sean he isn't too old to learn Braille.
Yeah.
I lost my sight just over 20 years ago in my early 40s. When the local social work department offered me the chance to learn Braille, I took it. Over several months, Stephen, one of the social workers, came to our house. I fed him coffee and cake, and I followed a Braille course. This involved learning grade 1, then progressing to grade 2. For this level, I was given two little books, which I still have. Grade 2 Signs for Reading and Grade 2 Signs for Writing. Over the weeks, my homework was reading a series of short stories, increasing in difficulty of language and length. Although I have never been fast enough at reading to enjoy reading for pleasure, I use it almost daily for reading labels on packaging, reading factual information such as bank statements, and all my recipe books are in Braille. I wouldn't dare leave my iPhone or my laptop near my food mixer. Although the social work department gave me a Perkins, I returned that. I found writing Braille more difficult than reading it. Just as with any foreign language, such as Latin, I've always found this to be the case. It's easier to read another language than to write it. So, Sean, go for it with learning Braille. As I've mentioned recipes, may I take the chance to say that the egg boiler and poacher recommended by Claire ages ago is fantastic. Over the summer, when my Rayburn was turned off because of the warm weather, we could still have boiled eggs in our salads. When is Claire returning with more of her Potter's picks? Finally, and I apologise to Cited Chris for such a long email. That's fine, it's a pleasure to read it. Could I suggest more information on Supernova, please? It would be great to have the sort of tutorial type items such as you do on the iPhone and VoiceOver, and which I find invaluable. Long may you continue. Your pod has just the right balance of information and humour, decorated with sound effects. Best wishes from Charlotte and guide dog Christy in remote Newton Stewart.
Oh, well, wow. Thank you so much, Charlotte. That's a
thank you, Christy.
That's an amazing email.
I want to know more about the cake. Not, I don't care about coffee as much, but I want to know about the cake she was serving.
Yeah, what kind of cake would it be?
That's put me off learning Braille because I'm not sharing my cake with anyone. No, that's good to know. I still do worry about I've left it too late, and you know I'm never going to be able to get to a level where I think it should be for Braille. So yeah, it's good to know that people, I've heard this a few times now, that you're never too old. So yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, I think it's because it's a bit like if I decided to, and let's not laugh out loud when I say this, but you know, me get into sport.
No guarantees.
So, but what I mean by that is, if I was to get into sport now, I guess I'd think to myself, well, if I don't become a Paralympian within the next 2 years, I've failed miserably.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a bit like that with Braille, in the sense that you maybe feel you should get to a level where you can read quickly, you can do that. But, you know, like Charlotte says, she's not using it to read fast. She's reading it to read and get information that she needs to get.
Yeah.
And actually, that's a really good way to look at it. It's that middle point of, look, I know enough to get by, and that's all I need.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm thinking basic notes. I would love to read a book, but I don't care how quick or how long it takes. I just kind of want to read a book at my pace, take a book in the way I want to take it in rather than the way that a narrator has decided to tell me how I should think about the book, you know, how that voice impacts. It's like watching a film. You know, you always maybe think, oh, that guy wasn't very good in that part, been better for someone else. You know, that character kind of takes over. And you kind of want to have that thought for yourself, which is why a lot of people love reading books.
Yeah. I got to say, I did a week of very short basic Braille lessons, and I found it just using Braille input on my phone, I was texting and tweeting, it was so much quicker than using the on-screen QWERTY keyboard. So even in just a week, I couldn't read anything, but I was typing away, but it just fell away because I wasn't using it enough. But yeah, it honestly does make such a difference. Sorry, Tim, go on.
I was just going to say, I know so many people actually have the debate now of what's faster, Braille input on your phone or FlickType, because they both enhance your typing ability so much over just typing on the standard QWERTY keyboard, like you said. So, yeah, I've always had that same thought with Braille, that I'm never going to sit down and read a Braille book. I'm not going to try to do it for leisure reading, but to know it for spot checking things, you know, reading small things, you know, here and there, it may be beneficial. And I keep thinking the same thing, like, well, you know, that's long since passed me by, and maybe I should get back into it. You know, I've tried it as well. I've tried the Hadley Institute courses, which are fabulous, easy for me to say, but
yeah, so fabulous.
So fabulous. But it just, I don't know. I just not sure. Now, that being said, real quickly on something else that Christy had mentioned, I think she's absolutely right. First of all, with all of her
Charlotte,
tech,
I think it is. Christy was the guide dog. Oh, hello, Christy the guide dog.
Oh, oops. It seems appropriate to mention the dog, yeah.
Yeah, it's for the dog, yeah. But no, I first of all the tech language, that's very tech talk of hers, very, very well done at the beginning of the email. But to have a transistor radio, I think two of the most important emergency things to have is your backup battery, you know, power for your iPhone or for other devices, yep. and a transistor radio. There's nothing wrong with that. I have one myself, as well as my power backup. So once the phone dies and the battery backup dies, you still have that radio to connect to the world. So
where,
absolutely,
where is it all these people idea. Are living where there's this endless apocalyptic experience? You know, I you know, to take Charlotte's point about this, you know, I mean, I obviously if there's a power cut, you have to be aware, but I assume and I hope that Charlotte's not living in a place where there's an endless array of power cuts. You know, it would be nice to think that that's not the case. You know, and for that reason, you know, would you buy an Amazon Echo, for example, an Echo Dot? Yeah, do you know what? I don't think you can go wrong with these things. And I could imagine, whilst, in fact, I know that Sean was sitting there seething while this email was read out. Well, should you have one?
Of course. You could almost hear him jumping up and down in his seat, yeah.
Of course. I mean, Sean could send you one because he's got about 15 of them.
I would love to. Well, look, I was thinking, of course you should get one. Look, all those examples you gave, Charlotte, were absolutely true. You can do all this on other stuff. I don't think there's anything you can do on a smart speaker that you can't do on a phone or some sort of, you know, the Victor Reader Stream or anything like that. But it's the convenience.
That's maybe pushing it, but yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, I know. But
and I'm all in on the Victor Radio Stream these days. By the way, I'm using mine and I'm liking it. But you know, I like it. I think it's a really good piece of kit. For what it does, and I'm beginning to get to that stage where
for what it does.
Well, here's the thing, right? For me, I you'll know this, Tim, as well. You know, when you're in the job and you're doing stuff, there are things you need to do quickly. There's things you need to rely on, and you don't want to have to think too much about it. Everyone at work says to me, "Why don't you use your voice memos app on your iPhone if you're taking your notes? Why don't you use that? Why don't you use this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, do you know what? Because it's fiddly. It takes time to sort out. And when you're in a meeting, you have to start recording it, and you've got to start taking notes." I need something I can hit a button physically, know it's recording. The Victor Reader says recording started, so I know. And then it stops, it says recording stopped. So I know that I've captured my recording. I don't have to worry about it. Whereas with an iPhone, you've got to find the stop button. Then you go, oh, I must save it. And then, meanwhile, you know, you've missed half the meeting and the social event and everything else. And it's 7 o'clock at night and you think, I should be going home now. And that's why I prefer sometimes having a specialist piece of kit. But anyway, that aside. Sorry, back to the Echo.
Yeah, oh gosh, we went off on a tangent there. But you're right. Look, specialized kit for special use cases. It's fine. But the thing with the smart speakers is that it's just so useful. It's you just shout out whatever you want. I know it's hard to think about why would I want it unless you've actually got one. But when you do have one, it's just something that you use almost without thinking. Going back to Stephen's point about it just, you know, being there, you don't want to muck around with anything. That's the point of smart speakers. They're just so easy to use and just sort of the tech side of it falls away. But saying that, because you said your internet is so bad, I am slightly worried about that. You do need you know, a good internet connection, so maybe they're not for you. But check out the Black Friday deals. There's some cheap bargains out there.
There are definitely some amazing deals on the Black Friday deals. But, and go back to the question, you know, the first question of, is it worth it? Is it worth the money? Absolutely. If you're getting a Dot and you would do all those things with it, you would use it for all the same things we've talked about. It's absolutely worth every little bit of that money. But again, it's just that consideration of internet and all that. But once you get it, I think you'd absolutely use it. And if not, well, remember, there is a return policy. So you could always send it back or send it to Sean. I'm sure he'll take another one. But yeah, it's definitely worth it.
It is. And, you know, I've even been thinking about how I could use it in my work environment. I know we've kind of touched on this before. Tim, I know it's something you were looking at for a while, and you still are, actually, to some degree, looking at
it. Yes, there's more news on that, yep.
Yeah, well, I'm intrigued by it, because, and even for simple things, like, I really struggle with calendars and Outlook using JAWS. And I know it's doable and all that, but again, it's that fiddly thing of doing it, and then you've got, like, for example, if you want to jump to a date, well, that's great if you know what the date is, but actually if I want to know what date it is 2 weeks on Monday, and you know, I love the idea of just having this little device beside me and I can just say, what's the date 2 weeks on Monday, and it'll just tell me. You know, that kind of simplicity, you know, how do you spell this word, how do you you know, I'm going to check my calendar for me, you know, what time is it?
Yeah,
all those little things, which yes, you can do with JAWS, all that stuff as well to some degree, but again, it's simplicity. I think we've got to think about the Echo, and I think this from a blind perspective, and I know that it's not a, you know, blind piece of kit per se. It's not a Victor Reader stream, or it's, you know, it's not that kind of thing. But I think it could be, and I think it perhaps maybe should be, a tool in our toolbox that we use.
Definitely.
Because I think it's very useful. It's very functional. It does a lot of things. And it's a computer that you speak to. It's the world's first, and we've got to not forget this, the world's first buttonless, screenless computer. And I say buttonless, I know there's buttons on it, but what I mean by that is you don't need to touch them. You don't need to do anything with them.
You don't
them.
Have to, yeah.
You can just talk to it. And that is brilliant for us. So, you know, as a tool, yes, and you can have lots of fun in it as well, but as a tool to get things done, it's invaluable. And for the price, it's almost like, why wouldn't you have it? I mean, I spend more, and I'm not maybe alone in this, but I spend more on a Chinese meal than yes. the cost currently of one of these things in the sales. You know, get one while they're literally hot, because, you know, why wouldn't you? I mean, we don't get anything for saying this, right? We're not sponsored by them. You know, buy it, don't buy it. We don't care. But the point is,
we just find them incredibly
but
useful.
We really find them useful.
I find it so useful. I've bought one for every room in my house, because if there's a room I'm in, I miss it. And, you know, that says something.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. With the one that I've got on the way, I've actually ordered one, and it will then add one in every room of my house officially once I get that one. So yeah, I'm right on board with that.
I'm buying more for rooms I've not yet put into my house.
Me too.
I'm actually buying it for the day that we get our conservatory that my wife tells me we're not getting. But when that happens, when she finally relents and I get my conservatory, I've got a dot for it. So yeah. It's all good. Anyway, moving on. Right, shall we get another email in? Sorry, Chris, we've been having you sitting here for ages. Right, let's get another email.
Okay, moving on, and our next email is from Brian, who says, hello lads.
Hello.
I was wondering how Mr. Scott was getting on with his new OLED screen phone. Ooh. It was some time ago that I encouraged him to try out one before dismissing it, but the impetuous fool had already been and done it before he got my email. Nonetheless, I'm interested to know if he finds the OLEDs as beneficial as I do, or is it just me? No doubt there are other listeners who could benefit from the master's opinion. Keep up the great work, because I listen every week without fail, and I'm sure I am just one of millions. All the best. Oof. From Brian.
Billions, I think you'll find.
I love our little community. I just love the Tech Talk community, but from the master's opinion?
Yes, wow. That's a bit too much.
Listen, as I've said before, no fake news on this program. So, you know, that is all real. Okay, well, thank you, Brian. It's nice to be given some respect at long last. Do you know what? The OLED screen, I am finding it much better than the LCD. I've got an iPad Pro, which has got the, what is it they call it again, that light function that's in it. Is it True Light they call it?
True Tone, I think.
True Tone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be a bit easier to see when it's turned on, because it almost sort of adapts to your environment. So if you're in bed at night, it'll adapt the light to your room and all that. And yeah, it's okay, but... And it was actually, when I first saw it, I thought that's pretty good. But I always struggled to spend a lot of time with an iPad. With the iPhone, despite using VoiceOver, I'd say about 80% of the time... And this is going to sound daft, but you know, if you've got an eye condition like mine, you'll kind of understand this. I kind of try to save up my sight during the day. So what yes. I do is I don't use a screen mm-hmm. at all during the course of the day. And then at night time, I sort of allow myself a little treat and have a look. And I'll maybe get about an hour where I can use the screen. I mean, I can't read much, but I can look at images on Facebook, or I can look at pictures I've taken or whatever. I can do that kind of thing. Text, no. Facebook, Twitter, all that I can't read. But what I will say is that my eyes do not get anywhere near as tired as they used to, and certainly they still do using the iPad, which has the same screen in it as what my old phone did. Now, I've got an iPhone SE, which I don't use the screen on at all, because it's too small, and actually that's kind of part of its appeal. It's a nice little phone, and I just use VoiceOver on that all the time, and it's fine. But if I were to ramp up the brightness on the screen, I would really struggle. So, yeah, I think there is a definite... There's something in this, Brian. There's something in this. But I think it is very much your eye condition dependent. I don't know if it's something about... I don't know how to. I'm trying to think of a way to describe this. So I remember a couple of
years back. Please don't do an analogy. Oh, no.
No. I'll avoid an analogy on this one. But I will say, I was going out one weekend, and my wife and I were looking at a new TV. This was years ago. It was about the time we got the one downstairs in our house, and we thought, right, what we'll do is we'll go around all the different ones. And my wife picked on this particular one, and she said, that screen is amazing. It's so bright, it's so vivid. And it was a Samsung. Great TV, loads of great features in it. As we know, we've talked about before, it's now got all the accessibility in it. I think it was just about coming out then. But the point was, the screen was amazing. And I said to her, I can't watch that, because to me, it's like a constant flicker. And nobody else could see this. And the shop guy was like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, no, I don't think it's the TV. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not the TV. It's me. It's not you. Yeah. It's me. And, you know, after a bit of argument with the guy.
How many times have you said that?
Many times. But, you know, after having a fight with the guy from Samsung saying, look, it's not you, right? It's not your TV. Your TV's fine. It's me. But I'd gone to Sony and it was clear as day. And I've always bought Sony TVs since, because they don't flicker, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't know what it is, or how it's built, or what it is in the TV. But interestingly, these new OLED TVs, to me, they're perfect. So I don't know what it is with these screens, that something must be affecting me in some way. And that is the same with the phones. So, yeah, for me, I've got nystagmus, so I think that has a huge part to play in it, that nystagmus seems to, because it's a constant movement of the eye, it seems to really struggle. Because, like, for example, if you go to a bus stop these days, you'll see maybe these signs that tell you when the next bus is coming. Yeah. And it's like an LED sign. To me, it is just an absolute blur. And I've often thought, how does anybody know what that says? But it's not a blur. It's just that the whole thing is skewed constantly. It's as if all the text is out of tune with itself.
It's so hard to explain.
I know it is,
isn't it?
It's so hard to.
But it's something I think we can all relate to, because it's absolutely, you know, your own personal vision, and it's all slightly different. So yeah, I totally understand that. Is it the response time maybe of certain screens? Yeah. Maybe it's something to do with the constant backlight you get from LCD, which you don't get on OLEDs. So yeah, as long as it works for you, then it's a good thing.
Well, that's exactly the point. As long as it works for you, I've told so many people that have vision loss or vision issues, go to an Apple store. I almost said Amazon store. That'd be tricky. Go to an Apple store and take a look. Yeah, well, yeah, and take a look at the 10S or the 10S Max compared to say the 10R. Because all that said, what you talked about there, Stephen, I think is right on track when it comes to a personal visual preference. And the OLED screens are amazing from what I understand. But a lot of people are saying that if you do a side-by-side visual comparison with the 10R, with the LCD liquid retina from that, most people, you know, people without vision issues, don't see much of a visual difference. Now, again, when it comes to having vision loss or having blindness, you're going to need something specific, like you said. But I'd be interested to see if next time you're in an Apple store, which I know when probably not too
not
long.
Probably tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Have you take a look between the 10S and the 10R? Because a lot of people say that, you know, visually it's not all that different, but with you with your vision issues, it may be different for you. I don't know.
And actually, that was kind of what scared me off the 10R a little bit, because I thought if it's anything like the iPhone 7 Plus that I had before, then it was just a pointless experience. All I'd say is that having the 10S just gives me a little bit more time on the phone, and it doesn't feel quite as intense on my eyes. But then again, there are a lot of factors in that. And, you know, anyone with sight problems listening to this will know that you can have fluctuations, stress of the day, how much sleep you've had. All those things affect your eyes in you know, the way that other people might affect their mood or whatever else. So, you know, for us, it's our eyes that get it. And, you know, it can just turn to me. Like this morning I was coming to work, and I probably could see nothing but cartoon-like images for about the first hour. And then things settled down. It just, that's what happens, you know, you just have those days.
That sounds odd. That doesn't sound like vision.
I don't know that's vision. What'd you have for breakfast? I don't know.
Well, all I'm going to say is golden arches. Okay, let's move on to another email. Chris, what else have you got?
Here's an email from Dean. He says, I have some notions about teaching and learning Braille, and I am looking for learners who would like to help me test these notions.
Sean.
In short, if you want to learn Braille or have an Orbit reader or perhaps another Braille device, I'll provide remote instruction. As a 66-year-old, totally blind person from birth, I've now been a paperless Braille user for well over a decade. There may be little reason for some people to use paper Braille. I almost never do, and there are advantages to learning on a Braille device. There are people out there who wish they could read Braille, as in really read. Audiobooks are great, but we don't all enjoy them or don't want to be limited to them. Reading Braille is quiet, and we do our own interpreting. Braille offers much more flexibility and power. Adult learners have the advantage of life experience and linguistics knowledge to help with learning. It takes practice and time, but many can learn and can happily read Braille. I expect you to be able and willing to spend time practicing. If you are intrigued by this, I'd like to work with you. You will need a Braille device, preferably an Orbit reader. I understand that even at its low price compared to other Braille devices, this is an investment. I believe that if you manage to acquire one and don't find it useful in the end, you can resell it and lose just a little money. From me, you will get an SD card containing Braille lessons, which will go in the Orbit reader, and a series of audio files providing instruction. Hence, you or an assistant have to be able to play and sometimes pause the instruction files. They should play on any device people are likely to be using. I assume no knowledge at all of the Orbit reader or of Braille. Interested people should write me at topdot, that's T-O-P-D-O-T, at gmail.com. And that's from Dean.
Wow, yeah. That's such an offer. Fantastic. And I got to say, that really seems like bringing Braille training up to date. You know, doing it that way, SD card, Braille display. And the fact that he's been paperless using Braille for a decade, amazing.
Well, and I have to say here that I actually know Dean. He is a fantastic trainer. And for him to put this offer forward, I would challenge anybody, please take his challenge here. Go ahead and do it. I actually, about a decade ago, learned JAWS from Dean. He was who actually instructed me on JAWS one-on-one and helped me be, you know, as proficient as possible in the line of work that I was in. And he is a great trainer. He's patient. But as you've heard me say on this show before, when I first learned JAWS, I told you guys, the trainer said, turn off the monitor and put away the mouse. That was Dean. So he means business, but he's very good at what he does.
Scary
he
Dean.
Knows his stuff. Yeah, but he knows his stuff and he's very good. So yeah, this is an amazing offer from him.
I love our audience for this. And, you know, as you say, Dean's been doing this for a long time. He knows his stuff. And the fact that he's offering this on that device, like you're saying, Sean, that is brilliant that you can get it that way. We were talking about this last week. We were saying, wouldn't it be amazing if someone could come up with some kind of training through the Orbit Reader? Because, you know, it would almost encourage you to buy it just on that, you know, if you know you're going to get the training.
Exactly.
But, you know, this is a guy who obviously knows what he's doing. And, you know, to get that kind of support is incredible. You know, just kind of thinking, right, I might send my fingerprint. Of course, my. No, I'm not kidding.
And we got to say, what a fantastic email. top.at@gmail.com.
It's not bad, is it? Yeah.
It's clever.
So, Sean, are you going to get yourself an Orbit then?
Well, you know what? He's absolutely right. It's a great price when you compare it to other Braille displays, but I still can't quite stretch to that. But like I say, I think this is a great way to do it. It just makes total sense to me to do it this way.
Thank you to Dean for that. That is amazing that you've offered that. And, you know, if you want to take him up on the offer, get in touch with us. We'll put you in touch or get in touch directly if you got the email address. Right, let's get to another email then. Come on, Chris, what else have we got?
All right, cracking email coming up from Julian, who says, hello, team. Three things. First, sighted guy Chris. May I add my voice to the many who congratulate you on maintaining some order and discipline in the face of chaos? A splendid effort. Well, thanks, Jillian. I think we can stop the email right there. Oh, there's more. Secondly, a couple of episodes back, Tim mentioned an OCR app called Envision AI. I had not heard of it, so I downloaded it from the Play Store. I do not think it adds any great advantage over ID, which I already had, and I do not understand why it suddenly develops an Australian accent when it reads to me. Nonetheless, a really good app and one that I can recommend to any Android user wanting to experiment with OCR. For smaller jobs like labels, they might also like to try Textify or iVision OCR Reader. Thirdly, now this is not strictly an eyeball thing, but it will give Stephen a rare chance to shine, to soar eagle-like above all others. We all know that he is the Lord Emperor of audiophiles. Oh, yes, this is an ear thing. At the back of a cupboard, I recently discovered a couple of classical CDs, which I have decided that I would like to transfer to my phone. I have not done this since the lights went out, but nothing daunted, I had a rummage in my collection of ancient backup memory sticks and eventually came up with a program called Audio Grabber, using LAME as an encoder. Hurrah! It proves to be fully accessible. I can only vouch for it running on Windows 7. I have a Windows 10 laptop, but it is so whizzy and modern that it does not have anything so archaic as a CD drive. So back to my trusty old desktop. Whisper it gently, but I still prefer Windows 7 to Windows 10 anyway. I still need to configure the settings from scratch, though, so my humble question to Stephen therefore is, please, sir, MP3 bitrates. Do I go for the highest constant rate I can get, or do I go for a variable bitrate set to high quality? I know that people do not rip CDs anymore and that this question is a blast from the past, but I figure that if you want a definitive answer to a question, you go to the expert. So, Lord Emperor, I prostrate myself before you. Oof. Kind regards from Julian.
Oh, wow. Well,
it's getting deep in here.
Quite where to go with that one. Right, are we still on here?
I don't like this show anymore. I want to record this again.
Is it still on? Wow. Well, Julian, I don't know what to say, and I honestly am a man of many words, but few at the moment. Right. Okay, well, let's pick up on a couple of things there. First of all, Tim, good advice on the apps. I think that was a good shout, and obviously that's helping Julian out.
Yeah, I think it's very nice that you have so many options on Android and, you know, with ID and Envision and all these other apps. Textify, I think, was another one that he mentioned. And yeah, these are good options. It just comes down to your personal choice and what works best for you. So well done on that. I would say I'm not sure about Chris being our voice of reason and kind of our referee. That used to be my job. So I'm not sure what happened there. Have I been thrown under the bus of somebody getting in trouble as well now? What have you guys done to me? I used to be the
referee.
You're
part of the chaos.
You
are the problem.
Yeah.
I'm part of the problem.
Since Trump took office, it's all your fault. We told you this. Every week we tell you this.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Anyway, more importantly, it's all about me.
About you. So yeah, bitrates,
yeah,
Stephen.
Bit rates. Well, do you know what? MP3, pa! Wouldn't even touch it. Pa! That's what I say. Oh. That's P-A-H, by the way, with an exclamation point. No, I wouldn't even touch MP3. You're dealing with classical music here. That music is pristine. It is beautiful. It should not be tampered with. WAV, W-A-V, that is what you're looking for. Best audio quality you can get, because it's basically an exact rip of what is on the CD. So you're not compressing anything. It is completely uncompressed, and you'll get the best audio quality. Now, problem with that is that it does save each track about 40 megabits. If the track's about 3-4 minutes long, classical will be different, it'll be longer tracks, but it means it's a much bigger file. In comparison, a WAV file, 40 meg, 3 minutes, an MP3 would be 4 meg, because you're literally 4 times less the quality. So you have to think about it that way. In terms of bitrate, so if you are looking at MP3, 320 is probably the highest you want to go. You shouldn't feel that you're losing too much there. Anything below 320, you're wasting your time.
What nonsense. Unbelievable.
Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him.
No.
He knows
him
nothing
straight,
about
Mr.
audio.
Set him
this guy thinks an Echo Dot first generation was amazing.
Look,
and I then quote him, wasp in a jar.
All right, we're being... Yes. Okay, so...
Am I wrong?
Yes, you are. You're always wrong. A constant bit rate of 320 is fine. It's fantastic. But it does...
If you've got no standards.
No. It does depend on your use case. I mean, what do you want to use
listening,
this for?
I'd imagine would probably be his use case.
Listen, if you're going to play it through an incredible stereo system, then yes, you will notice a difference. If you're just going to play it on a standard piece of kit, then it doesn't matter. Plus, does storage matter to you? Does it, are you running low on disk space? How are you going to store these? Do you want to send them around to different Dropbox or other cloud services? I would suggest FLAC is probably the best way.
That's what I was going to say.
Absolutely no compression in audio quality, but the file size is a lot smaller. But then it limits to what devices you can play FLAC files on. And it's the same with WAV files or WAV files.
No, it's not. Nonsense. Fake news.
No. If you've just got an MP3 player, generic MP3 player, WAV. The chances are it may struggle with some WAV files. So MP3 is more universal and a lot smaller. And look, 320, I'm going to say, is absolutely fine.
Tim, I want to restore your position of sense and order person. So come on.
So I need a referee whistle or a bell or something. Yes. Wow. You know what? You guys are going to kill me for what I'm going to say, but in a sense, you're both right.
No, because it's not possible.
I think that WAV files, because of their uncompressed nature and how useful they are, and you know, universal they are, they're fine. But again, it is the size that is a problem with a WAV file. And I was going to say the same thing Sean did. FLAC is amazing. It's uncompressed, just like a WAV file. The quality is going to be just as good, but in a smaller size file. It may not work everywhere, but if you're going to use it, say, in an app on your iPhone, chances are it's going to play FLAC, it's going to play WAV, it's going to play everything. If you're playing it on some sort of other digital device, that's where it's tricky. But most, if not every app I use plays both FLAC and WAV. That being said, what Sean said about a high bitrate MP3, especially if you're doing 320, that's at or above CD quality.
Correct.
You have to remember what you're ripping it from. If you're taking this from a CD, it's only going to be as good as they put it on the CD to begin with. And a 320 bitrate MP3 file is at or above what the CD was to begin with when they created it.
In the realms of fake news, you are my fake news-ometer is screaming over here. CDs come in at 1,411 kilobits, right? I'm going to get geeky for a second.
Wow.
1,411, that's a CD, right? 320 is less. Do we agree with that?
No.
No, that...
You don't agree with... You don't agree that 1,411... is more than 320.
No. Fake news.
Fake news, yeah. Anyway, I think that's my argument over. Chris, thank you so much for coming in. That is your emails. Thanks, Chris.
No problem at all. I will be back next time for more emails, if you'll have me.
No.
Thanks very much, Tech Talkers.
Thanks, Chris.
Right, let's turn our attention to one more thing before we go, and that is heating. Yes, central heating. And I'm quite excited by this because we have had one of our listeners get in touch. Gary has been in touch with us, Gary Price, to tell us all about the Cobalt Talking Thermostat.
Hot air, so hot in here, so hot air. Oh!
Well, hello there, Tech Talk. It's me, Gary Price here. This is just a quick demonstration of the Cobalt Speechmaster Talking Central Heating Remote Control. There is a base unit which plugs into the boiler, so you will need an engineer to fit that for you. So when that is fitted, you don't need to worry about that side of it, because everything that you do is done with the remote control. Now, the beauty of this remote control is there's only 6 buttons to remember. They're all circle apart from 2 of them. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to describe them from the top. So at the top left, you have your temperature stroke time button. Just below that, you have the adjust button. That's how you change settings. just below the adjust button, this is on the left, by the way, you have your heating button. So that's the left side. And then on the right side, you've got two triangle buttons, one pointing up and one pointing down, obviously, and they are your temperature control. And then just below that, you have your heating override button. So if I do the top left, which I said before is a temperature stroke time button.
23.5 degrees C, 11:01 a.m., Friday.
So that's the temperature in here at the moment, 23.5. And if I do the heating button once.
Heating on timer. Heating 18 degrees C.
So that's what it's on at the moment, 18. But if you noticed, it said on timer, because you can have timers with this as well. And it's very easy to do that, actually. You just do your heating button twice, and that will set your first timer for you. Once you get the knack of it, it's very, very straightforward to use and stuff. That's about it, to be honest with you, really. If you want more information, you can visit the website overws.cobalt, that's COBOLT, .co.uk. But like I say, once you get the knack of it, it is very, very easy to use. The beauty of it is, though, that if you hit the temperature control, like if I hit the up button once.
Heating 18 degrees C.
See, it said heating 18 degrees, and it's not actually changed it. So to actually change it, you've got to do it like twice in quick succession. I hope this gives you a quick insight anyway.
I'd be feeling hot in that house, let me tell you.
23. Wow.
That is warm. Listen, that's it for our show this week. Thank you so much. We've covered so much on this programme. I'm going to get me audio grabber because I actually want to, and I meant to say this, but you two were talking utter nonsense about bit rates for so long. So I want to go and get myself this audio grabber programme that Julian's suggesting because I want to rip me some CDs. So I'm really happy.
Back in the 80s,
yeah,
I like
love it. And I'll be ripping them at full WAV quality. Anyway, that is it for us for our show this week. Thank you so much, seriously, for all of your emails. Thank you so much for them. They mean a lot to us. Techtalk@rnib.org.uk. I'm off to learn some Braille, and they're off to figure out what a bitrate is. Catch you next time, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.